Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Let's give our Father a praise. Let's worship Him just a little longer. You are worthy, Lord. Yes, You are. You belong to glory. Praise Your name, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us, Lord. Father, happy Father's Day, Father. We honor You and You alone, Father. We thank You, Father. Thank You for all You've done for us, Lord. We thank You, Father God, for the work not only that You've done before, but that which You have placed in our lives, Father, the work that You have for us, Father God, the work that You are bringing to us, Lord. We thank You for it, Lord. We give You praise and glory and honor, God. There's nobody like You, Father. There's nobody like You, Lord. We bow before You this morning, Lord. We bow our hearts before You, God. We worship You, Father. None like You, Father. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Continue this morning, Father, to have Your way. Rabuki kiria shi kiria lu. Hi kiria shi prolobos. Hi shuria kabusi kitiandede. Hi shukiria labosi kiria labos. Have Your way, Father. Hi krala si kiria. Hi rabos. I have called You with an everlasting call, my child. That which I placed within you is my plan and my purpose for you. Yield to my spirit, my child. Allow me to flow through you. And you will see that what you've been asking for, that which you desire, that which you've been seeking for, you will see evidence all around you, for I have called you my child. I am not mad at you. I'm not disgusted with you. I love you. I gave my son for you. I have opened my door to you. I remind you, my child, that it is me who has called you. It is I, saith the Lord. I will lead you. I will guide you by my spirit. For it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We honor you this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, if you love God, give Him a hand clap. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Allow Him, woo, hallelujah, to flood through you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love you, God. We love you, Father. There's none like you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, guys. Thank you for bringing us into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be seated if you can. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. I feel like I'm done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. You worthy of it all. Come on. You're worthy of it all. I lost my Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. Let's give Him one more. Thank you, Lord. One more time. Are your hands hurting? It's okay. It sounds like your hands are hurting. Come on. Oh, God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to see all of you there this morning. Gentlemen, happy Father's Day. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow. Glory to God. If you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. My Father's good pleasure. Glory to God. Woo, man. Hallelujah. How many know God's doing good things? Good things. Yeah. He's got great things in store for you and great things in store for the church. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a doer. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's at rest. How you like that? He's resting. Is that right? The Bible tells us that he wants us to enter into his rest. Is that right? Why does he want us to enter into rest? Because he's there. That's where he's at. He's rest. He is. And he wants us to enter into that rest and to calm down. How many of you like calming down? Anybody here like calming down? When somebody tells you, how do you like it when somebody tells you to calm down? I don't like it. My wife has told me before, calm down, Henry. I said, shh, be quiet. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. But God really does want us to calm down and relax. Amen? Because we're his people and he knows everything going on in your life. Is that okay? Is that okay to tell you that? It's okay. And everything, even that thing that doesn't look so good, it is. God says, hey, just relax. I've got it. Amen? He's going to take care of you. Is that right? Is God's promise true? He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that right? He'll never, never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always with you. Is that right? So, favorite thing to do and remember in times of trouble is to calm down. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, calm down. Don't let it get to you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I gotta talk to myself a lot about that. Calm down. It's going to be okay. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. It's your Father's good pleasure. And this is, from Luke chapter, I think it's 12, verse 32. He says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is that okay? How many are interested in the kingdom of God? Let me just say this to you. The kingdom of God is on the earth and it's in you. Is that right? And God is trying to release this thing. Hallelujah. So we're going to take a look at some things. We're going to go through some, we'll go through a few of the parables and we'll just see what God says to us this morning. How many of you want God to speak to you this morning? Is anybody asking God, hey, God, will you speak something to me? Give me something, Lord. Everybody say something. Give me God, throw me a bone. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Is that right? Because even bones in the kingdom of God are anointed. Is that right? Do you remember that? Remember when they tossed that dead man on top of the prophet's bones? Hallelujah. There was an anointing that was still there, and the guy rose from the dead. Is that right? So hallelujah. So God, say this to God. Toss me a bone, Lord. Give me something. Give me something this morning. Hallelujah. If you're really asking God to give you something, I guarantee you, he's going to give you something. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is desiring to build his people and strengthen them. Is that cool? And that's who you are. So come on, hold on. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3, you're going to start at verse 13. This is kind of almost comes off of a tail end of last weekend. Last Sunday, but starting at verse 13 says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John the Baptist recognized Jesus when he was coming to him. Is that right? He even told in another one of the Gospels, he tells it, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Is that right? John the Baptist absolutely recognize who Jesus was when he was walking towards you. Do you know that? And that's cool. And you know what? Can I tell you something? How many of you know when John the Baptist got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Does anybody know? Where was he? Was he in the wilderness? No. Was he down in front of the church steps? Was he up at the altar? Where was he? He was in the womb. Is that right? In mama's belly. Is that right? You know what I like about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It causes you to see things that are coming towards you that you might not even know what's happened. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. It speaks to you even before it gets to you. Isn't that cool? And hey, John the Baptist is standing there and he's watching people come and go. And all of a sudden he looks and he goes, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus comes up to him and he says, "I want to be baptized." And John tells him, "No, man, I should be baptized of you. You're the King of Kings and the Lord. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I need to be baptized by you." Jesus tells him this. Jesus says, "Yeah, calm down." Isn't that right? Calm down. Hallelujah. I love it. Calm down. Jesus answering said unto him, "Allow it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. That word suffered means allowed or permitted. Jesus said that, allow it to be this way now. For this is the way we fulfill all righteousness. Can I tell you, Jesus was a son of God. And I mean, know that. Jesus was a son of God. But he also was a son of man. And what God's plan was that Jesus was going to come into the earth to show mankind what God had actually planned, his purpose in man, what it was to be like. Jesus was our great example. Do you know that? Anything that Jesus did, let me just say this to you. Anything that he showed in the earth, he's showing us as the body of Christ that we can do that same thing. Are you guys okay with that? Sounds kind of weird, but yeah, can you walk on water? Yeah, if you need to, you can. Is that cool? Did Peter walk on the water? Peter walked on the water. So anything that Jesus, he said, "Look, I'm going to get baptized because this is the way we fulfill all righteousness. I want my people in the future, right now, to see that I am, this is what I'm doing. This is how you get these things moving in the kingdom of God." How many of you know that? Is that okay? Are you guys okay with that? Some people say, "Well, you kind of lost me there," but that's okay. Hallelujah. It is his purpose and it is his plan to show us just how great we are. Look at their neighbor next to you and say, "Man, you're greater than you think you are." You are.
Amen.
God has given you more than you imagine. Is that right? How many of you know that? Do you know? Because there's something great within you. Is that right? Greater is he within me than he that is what? In the world. There's a greatness. You have a greatness to you. And Jesus came to show us that greatness. He came to unveil who actually you are in the eyes of God, which is so absolutely crazy. God, you did this for me. So he tells him that, and then says this, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17 says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen? Who said that? God who? God the Father. Is that right? "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." How many know that God is pleased with Jesus? Is that right? Jesus had a purpose and a plan. Jesus had he had some marching orders when he left the kingdom of heaven and came to the earth. There was a plan that was placed in the earth, and that plan Jesus was going to fulfill. How many know that? See, God knows the end for the beginning, so when Jesus came to the earth, God already said, look, see, Jesus hadn't even done anything yet. Is that right? He'd honored his mother and father, stayed in the temple, and they got all worried about him. They left, and you know, "Where were you, son? We should have been with the company." Is that right? They got a little upset at Jesus. But Jesus was doing what he felt his father wanted him to do. Is that right? Come on in. And God says, "This is my beloved son. And I'm well pleased in him. I am well pleased in him." Is that right? Hallelujah. I've heard people say, you know, the words I want to hear from my God is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How many want to hear that? The Lord say, "Lord, I'd like to hear that." But even more, I'd like to hear him say, "This is my beloved son in whom, this is my beloved son, John, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son, Reuben, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son, Gary, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter, Stella, in whom I'm well pleased. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Because this is what God recognizes is the work of his son. Is that right? And he also recognizes us. We do not lose. Listen, you don't lose your identity with God. He enhances who you are through the indwelling Son of God that lives in you. And that's crazy. Sometimes we can't get our minds around it, but yet that's who we are. It's crazy. It's cool. And God says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. How many of you are into pleasing God? Is that right? I mean, I want to please God. If there's anything I want to do, I want to please him. I want to please him well. And I have found that when I try to do things on my own, I say, God, how's this? Because try again, Hank. Come on. That's the way my daughter talks to me. Try again. Hey, come on. What? I have found that when I listen to him and I yield to him and do those things that I feel that he is speaking to me, that's the best side. That's the only way. Hallelujah. Just like speaking up here. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit that's in my life, I would not even try to get up here and talk to all of you. Not even. I depend on the Holy Ghost. I depend on the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. After Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that he left and he went into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. How many remember that? How many like fasting? Yeah, not much, huh? How many fast? I'll tell you what. Can I tell you, there is something about fasting that pushes your flesh into obedience. How many say amen to that? Anybody here ever had your flesh go nuts on you? Anybody? Give me a hand if you got me. Say amen. How many ever? You know what? I remember fasting at the mine and the doc and some of the. I guess some of the contractors would come and they bring donuts. Isn't that right, Dan? They bring a box of donuts. And before I knew it, I'd be fasting. And before I knew it, I had a donut in my hand and it was in my mouth. And it was right when it was in my mouth when I say, oh, I'm fasting. Crazy. And I said, oh, well, I hadn't even swallowed it yet. I said, oh, well, I already broke it, so I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. Come on, man. You know, the flesh works against, it tries to work against us. Is that right? Try fasting. When I was working at the garage, I'd go on a fast, and during the week when I wasn't fasting, I didn't have any problems. But on the days I was fasting, there was a little restaurant up at the end of the road, and I could smell pancakes. I could smell bacon. I think I could just about smell everything that was going on inside that restaurant. Why? My flesh wanted to, hey, it's time to eat. No. I would say, if anybody in the house is ever having little problems with your flesh, anytime you want to get some stuff under control, fast. And watch what God does with that. Just try it. You'll see that God does honor those things. Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. We as his children, I didn't need to say this to you because I just felt the Lord say it to me. We as his children, sometimes maybe we don't want to fast. Maybe we don't feel like it's correct that we fast. But Jesus told his disciples, when you fast, so it's almost an expectation, the Lord is saying, there's going to be a day that you're going to need to fast. I want you to fast. Fasting seems to open your ears clearer, gives you an ability to hear in ways you hadn't heard before. Oh, boy. I was fasting. I was fasting one day, and my brother had gone into the hospital. And there was when I went in to see what was going on, and my niece was in there. She had taken her to the hospital, and I went into the emergency area, and I'd gone up to the desk, and they told me, yeah, he's in the back. So I went to the back, and he was in there, and I prayed for him. And the doctors came in and said, hey, we're going to need to send you guys out into the lobby for a little bit. We want to do some things. And so we went out there, and while I was out there, a young man and his wife, very young couple, brought a little boy in that was screaming, just screaming at the top of his lungs. Anyway, the dad's sitting in the chair with this little boy, and the mom has gone to the desk to sign him in. And while that little boy's just screaming, my niece and I were looking at him, and that I could see that dad's eyes. He was a young man. He had tears coming down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He wanted his son to be relieved. Is that right? I mean, there was just, whatever's going on, I want. And I felt such a compassion for him. Is that right? This compassion just rose up in me, and I'm looking at him. And right then I decided I better go. They called us back in. I could go see my brother. We went back in, talked just for a little bit, went outside. And I went to call my wife to let her know what was going on with my brother. And while I was talking to her on the phone, that young man had gone out of the waiting room and was coming back in, whatever reason. And when he was coming back in, I was still on the phone, and I stopped him, and I told Rose, hey, I'll talk to you later. And I told him, I said, man, hey, what's wrong with your son? And he looks at me and goes, huh? I go, what's wrong with your little boy? My name's Henry. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, my name's Angel. He says, my little boy he's had a problem with the tube that goes from his, I guess, from when he has to pee. It pinches on him. So he had some kind of a catheter in there that would allow him to go to the restroom. And he said, and somehow he was playing today, and he must have pulled on it, and so he couldn't go to the bathroom. And I said, okay. I said, can I pray for you? He looks at me. I said, I just want to pray. I feel like God wants to do something for you. Let me pray for you. He says, sure. So I prayed, and I said, what's the little boy's name? His name is Angel Jr. I said, hey, but listen, Angel, God, would you just touch Angel in the name of Jesus? Very close, very quick prayer in the name of Jesus. And he goes, hey, thank you, sir. And he went in. I went in, I followed, and went to go see my brother a little bit, and came back out, and Angel was gone, his wife was gone, and I didn't see them. So I went outside again to call my sister to let her know how my brother was doing. And while I was outside, I'm talking on the phone, and I hear these steps coming, like somebody's running, and I kind of look back, and it was Angel's wife. Her name was Allie. She jumped me, boom, right on my back. And I'm cool, what's going on? And she's holding me, and she's crying on my back. I go, hello, excuse me, hello. And she goes, I want to thank you. I said, thank me. I said, what's going on? She goes, well, we went in there. They took Angel in. And while he was on the table, we were telling the nurse and the doctor in there that he has to have that reset so he can go to the restroom because he's in a lot of pain. And they said, okay, we'll pull what's there and we'll put a new one in. So she said when they pulled out the catheter, sprinkler system, it started all going all over the place, and they covered him with a towel, and they go, was that supposed to happen? They said, no, that wasn't supposed to happen. And so he says, well, what do you want us to do? Because obviously he's relieved himself. Do you want us to put another one in? We'll call our doctor. So they call their doctor. The doctor said, no. He said, that shouldn't have happened. It really shouldn't have happened. And then Angel, her husband, told her, there was an old guy out there. Go, what? There was an old guy out there that prayed for me, prayed for us. Prayed for Angel. Her doctor said, bring him to me next, bring him here to me tomorrow, and we'll check to see how he's doing. But I believe that little boy got healed. Amen. Hallelujah. And I told her, so she's like, I say, she's like, come on. And so her husband comes over. He goes, Angel's asleep in the car. He's had a really rough day, but we just wanted to tell you thanks. And I said, hey, I said, no problem. It was an incredible thing that God was doing, because that young lady told me, she says, let me just say something to you. She goes, who are you? I said, don't matter who I am. The only name you got to remember is Jesus. Jesus did this for you. He did this for you. She goes, let me tell you something. She goes, I'm going to be real honest with you. My husband and I, we do cocaine. I said, oh, okay. I said, you need to stop that. And she goes, wait. She goes, I was putting little Angel in the bed, in his crib, and I heard a voice tell me, stop using cocaine. And she said, I looked around. I couldn't understand where it came from. So I told Angel, and he goes, nah, whatever. She said that she got in her car. She worked at the bus station in Phoenix. She said she got in her car, started up and started going down the road. And there was a man talking on the radio, and he's talking about Jesus. And she goes, what? And she said she began to cry and weep and just she had to pull over. She was crying so much. And then she told her husband, she goes, I really like that station you put on. And he goes, what station? What are you talking about? That one with Jesus. And were they talking about Jesus? He goes, I didn't put that on. I'd never put that on. And him and Allie are standing here talking with me. And it was really kind of one of those things. And he says, hey. She goes, when we were looking for a hospital, we saw the sign St. Mary's Road. And she goes, and I began to weep that same way that I wept. So I know we need to go to that hospital right there. So they followed the signs to St. Mary's Hospital. And that's where I was at. And I believe, I truly, truly believe that God was using. This was something that God was doing. This was for those two kids. They were young. They were little. They were like teenagers, very young. And I asked them. I go, well. She goes, I've been telling Angel about this. I've been telling him about how I'm feeling, and he's just saying, telling me, no, shut up. I don't want to hear any more about it. But she said, I've been feeling this, and I know this is God. And I asked him. I said, you guys ever given your heart to the Lord? And she goes, no. We didn't know, we don't. I said, come on, let's pray. And I turned and I looked at Angel. He's weeping he's just crying. I go, come here, man. Come on, man. I said, God loves you guys, and he knows where you're at. And we led him to the Lord. And as they were leaving, they're, you know, what was your name? Hey, just remember Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Told them where to go to church in Phoenix. Thought a good place that I knew of. I said, but find a place. Find a place to go to church. So how many of you know that there are angels out there that play with radios and will put your, just when you need a word, you might hear something on your radio that God is saying to you. And you see, I was very sensitive to these things because of the fast that I was on. And God, I just love God the way he does things. I just do. I want to take you into some scriptures this morning. And Jesus had gone and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And after he fasted, the Bible says he was hungry, and their angels came and they fed him. And then when he powered up, he went, and the Bible says this, he went into the cities near there. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, would you read that? It says that from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One of the first things that Jesus was preaching was repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that all right? How many know the kingdom of heaven is at hand? How many know it's right now? Hallelujah. How many know we got to repent? Is that right? The way to get into the kingdom is to repent, to turn away from your sins and step into the kingdom of God. Is that right? Allow him to bring his spirit to you. Ask him for it. Amen. If there's somebody in the house that's never given their hearts to Jesus, today's a good day for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's a good day to give your heart to the Lord. It really is. Hallelujah. All you got to do is say, hey, Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Hallelujah. One of the things that Jesus, when he would go from place to place, he would speak in parables. How many like parables? How many like the parables in the Bible? They are stories that have a spiritual significance. That's what I found that in Webster said that. Stories with a spiritual significance. When Jesus told a parable, he wasn't making up stories. Can I tell you that? Because Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. He could not make up stories. He could not lie. Anybody lying here? I see those hands. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. There's something about, I like hands. But anyway, Jesus could not lie. So all these stories, they have a spiritual context to them, and they're also true stories. But I want to take a look at a couple of these parables. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Let's look at that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field. Where's it at? Where's that treasure at? In the field. When a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Amen? That's like the kingdom of God. That's what, there's, you know, it's like a treasure. Is that right? How many of you have found that the kingdom is a treasure? Has anybody in here found that out? Hallelujah. Let's look at this next parable. It says this. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46, right after, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen? Hallelujah. Sold all that he have. Look at your neighbor and say, let's sell everything we got. Hey, come on, man. No, I'm just kidding. Doesn't that make you nervous? Some folks get a little nervous when we talk about, hey, man, all right, folks, go home, sell everything you got. No, man. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, the disciples are listening to these parables, and they ask Jesus, the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? Why do you speak? Why don't you just talk plainly? Amen. Amen. Why do you speak in parables? And Jesus had a couple of reasons. Amen. First reason is in Psalm 78, verse 2. Look at this. One of the things about Jesus, everything that happened, everything that he went through was prophesied. Is that okay? I will tell you, folks, that our mouths are very, very powerful to us. What comes out of your heart, what comes out of your mouth is powerful to you. And God tells us, he says, you will give an account for every word that comes out of your mouth. Do you know that? How many of you know that? How many kind of forget that every once in a while? Does anybody? Yeah, come on. I do. But you will give an account for all those things that come out of your mouth, especially the ones that are contrary to what God is trying to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So here's what it says. This is what it says, Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And then he says, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. This is one of the reasons Jesus spoke in parables, because it was prophesied. The word of God prophesied that he's going to speak in parables. He's going to have these sayings that they're kind of hard to understand, not really easy. So the apostles ask him, why, Lord, do you speak in parables? And the other reason is Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 and 12, 13, 11 and 12. He says, he answered and said to them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. How many of you know, how many of you have had words that you remembered from the Bible, and somehow you forgot them, and then later on you found them again? Listen, God is trying to give us words. Words are important to us. God's trying to give us words because it's these words that will cause either things to grow in your life or things to be destroyed. It's really something that God is saying, look, my people, my kingdom, we're going to talk the way the kingdom talks. Is that cool? Listen, it's valuable to you. It's not something that we can just put off as, well, it's no big deal. No, man, this is really valuable to you. It is a matter of blessing or cursing. Can I say that to you? Can I tell you, you can curse yourself just been a simple fact of saying, well, these are my allergies. What you're doing is you're placing a curse on yourself. You are containing those things and holding on to them and say, these are my allergies. Or the thing is, the word of God says, no, by his stripes you've been healed. So you need to quit containing them and let them go. Release them. Release them. Say, no, you have no place in my heart. How many say that? Amen. It's just my diabetes working up. No, it's not. God paid a price for that. Jesus paid a price. So don't hold on to any of that nonsense. Amen? Watch your words. Amen? Come on. You got to watch your words. Hallelujah. I heard my daughter tells my grandkids, everyone says, use your words. Watch your words. Use your words. Watch your words. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Watch what you say. Amen? I have to do the same thing. I will say stuff. Rosie going, hey, Henry. Oh, yeah. Stop it. Hallelujah. Watch your words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These things, God, why do you speak in parables? Because it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And I go, hallelujah. It's a matter of focus. How do you focus? If people want to go to college, do they focus on their college credit or college courses? Is that right? It's a matter of focus. How do you focus on the kingdom of God? What are you doing to focus on the kingdom of God? Are you rising early? Going to the word of God? Find out what God has for you for that day? Or are you just putting it off for the week? Okay, well, I went to church Sunday, so that's it. That's enough. Can I tell you? Let me just say this to you. God is trying to build you and strengthen you. And the way he's going to do it is by you taking time to spend time with him in his presence and in the word of God. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 says, when you do your alms, let me look. I'm sorry, Matthew 6, verse 33. Can we do that? Yeah. Matthew 6:33 says this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All of what things? Can I tell you, everything that you need that God has for you, by seeking first the kingdom, he will add it to you. Is that all right? Is that good? It's a matter of focus. Are you focusing on the kingdom, or are you just focusing on your life, and then when you get a chance, I'll go to God and talk to him a little bit about things. God wants you to focus on the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Small stuff. Hallelujah. How many know that the kingdom of God comes by words? Is that right? And it takes little by little, little by little. Is that what the word of God tells us? Here a little, there a little. Precept must be upon precept. Line must be a line upon line. A little here, a little there. As you're reading the word of God, you're absorbing little by little, little by little. And it begins to build something very powerful in your life. How many know that God wants to build things, make you powerful? Do you know that? Are you convinced that God is trying to strengthen you? You've got to be. You've got to be convinced that these things are what God's trying to do in your life. Hallelujah. Because if you're not convinced, you won't do it. Is that right? If you're convinced that being a doctor is going to be very profitable to you, how focused are you going to be in going to college? You're going to be very focused, and that's okay. That's good. But the word of God says you are a child of God and you belong to a kingdom. So it's time that we focus on the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I will say amen. Come on, man. Focus. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. I like that. Then he said unto them, the kingdom of, what is the kingdom of God like? And whereto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed into a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Jesus is talking, this is the way the kingdom of God is. It starts out as a very small seed. Is that right? How many know God is a God of small stuff? But the small stuff that God has, it gets bigger. Remember, do you remember the battle between David and Goliath? It was the small against the very large. And that small became a great king. How many know that? Amen. Is that right? Check this out. So if it's about small stuff, God is talking to me. He said, this is like a grain of mustard seed that once it's planted, it will grow and it will become a great big tree. Is that what it says? Even the birds will land in it and stay in it. Here God is saying, this is the way the kingdom of God is. Start small, but it grows big. Is that right? Start small, but it grows big. Small stuff. Hallelujah. Look at this one. Luke chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 says this. Again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven. What is leaven? Yeast? Yeast. Which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Does that leaven, does it affect the whole of the flour and everything that's going to? It affects everything. Is that right? It does. It affects it. I want you to notice something that Jesus says there's three measures that the woman puts in. And I was asking the Lord one morning, I said, Lord, why would you say three measures of leaven? Why would you? And he says, I'm talking about my kingdom. And my kingdom comes by words. How many know that? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes. The kingdom of God operates by faith. Is that right? So it's a matter of hearing these words and over and over and over again, hearing all these words. I said, but God, okay, I get that. But why three measures? Why? Why three measures? And he says, it's the words. Do you guys remember what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus and two of his apostles were up there, and the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured before them. Is that right? Who'd they see? They saw Elijah, they saw Moses, and Jesus. Is that right? Here's the three measures that he's talking about that will leaven the whole lump. Let's say we're the lump. Let's say we're the bread that we're the what's being made to become something. Let's say that we're that. And God's saying, I'm using three measures. Number one, I'm going to use the prophets in your life to strengthen you and build you. Number two, I'm going to use the law to build you and strengthen you. And number three, I'm going to use the New Testament. See, that was represented on the Mount of Transfiguration. Three measures to leaven the whole thing. Can I just tell you, there's folks that say, hey, man, you know, the Old Testament is not even part of today with the kingdom. I'll tell you, that's a lie. Everything in the scriptures is given for you for edification, to build you up, to strengthen you, and cause you to be the man or woman of God that God has created you to be. Is that cool? Something. Three measures. Not two, not just one. Well, I just stay in the King James. I'm sorry. I just stay in the New Testament. No, three measures. The law, the prophets, and the New Testament. Amen? Come on. Is that an amen? Amen. That's a pretty wimpy amen. Have I ever heard a wimpy amen? Glory to God. Three measures. Focusing on the small thing. Dan, do you know what the percentage of copper is up at the mine? What's the percentage of copper? 4 pounds per ton. 4 pounds of copper per ton. I work from a copper. I'm a 35 years in copper mining. Amen. So I'm interested in some of that stuff. And 4 pounds of copper in a ton. Is that right? Is that what you said? To get 4 pounds of copper, I mean, you can buy a 10-pound pack bag of sugar, is that right? And it's not too big. 4 pounds of copper and a ton of ore. They spend a lot of money up at that mine to blast, to dig, to put into trucks, and to continue to keep those trucks running. Is that right, Reuben? Putting plate steel and all these things. And they move it to what they call a crusher, these big rocks, and it falls into a crusher, and it crushes them down to certain size rocks that will go onto a belt and move that ore from one place to another crusher, which will crush them down to almost 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch. Is that right, John? And from that place, it goes into the mill. That's where I used to work. Praise God for the mill. Everybody say that. No, I'm just kidding. It goes into the mill, and in the mill, it goes up in these belts, and it falls into these what they call ball mills, and they're full of these 4 to 4 inch balls of steel, and it dumps in there in this kind of a dirt and bunch of little rocks, and those balls just grind that stuff up. They grind it and grind it and grind it. And there's pumps on the backside that water comes out of that mill, and the pumps are pumping it, and they pump it up into the cyclone. And this cyclone, what a cyclone is, it's a kind of a circular thing that it comes in on one corner of it, and it spins that water really fast, and it's dropping to the bottom of the cyclone, which has a discharge. But while it's spinning, all the heavy stuff, how many know, well, what will happen to the heavy stuff? Does anybody know? It's going to go out, right? It's going to go out in that cylinder, and then it's going to drop down along the bottom of that cylinder and finally go out to the bottom. And out of the bottom, it goes right back into the mill, and they grind it again, grind it again, grind it. Because what we're after is the small stuff. We're after the little bitty stuff. And this cyclone is spinning. The water's coming in. It's spinning. So they get this pipe. They call it a vortex finder. You guys ever seen a vortex? What does a vortex look like? You can probably see it in your sink. Is that right? When you pull the plug on your dirty dishes, pull it to drain the water, as it's draining, you'll see it start spinning. Is that right? That's a vortex. What they do with a pipe, they stick a pipe down in that vortex, and depending on how much small material they want, they can make that pipe either bigger or smaller, but they'll set it down inside there, and that water, since it's spinning already, will spin up and out and go on out, and it'll go to what they call these big tanks. And those big tanks up there, they inject air in the bottom of them. And those tiny particles, there's some also chemicals in there, but they inject the air in there, and those bubbles will carry the copper to the top of the tank. And the tank has these lips, and the copper will just roll over. It'll overflow. I like the word flow. How many of you guys like the word flow? You know, it will overflow. And that's where we get the 4 pounds of copper per ton of ore. That's a pretty small, is that right? That's not a lot. But yet, I was looking on the website last night that Freeport-McMoRan, not only this property, but other properties, produced 372 billion tons of copper. All by this process of getting the small stuff out. Let me just say this to you. God is trying to purify the vessel. He's trying to clear you up and get the things that aren't needed out and put the things that are needed in. He's trying to do that for you. Will you let him do it? Will you let him have his way? Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. God is a God of small stuff, but it becomes very big. Because I don't know what I got. I didn't look at the prices, but I don't know what that 300 and those billion tons of copper, I don't know how much money that is. But I will tell you one thing. It's what's running these lights. It's what's running this keyboard. All that copper, all of that, hallelujah. Jesus taught us to pray, hey, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen? Is that right? He taught us to pray that. The power verse is Luke chapter 12, verse 32. We'll put that up. It says this, Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure. See, God is excited about giving you the kingdom. Is that right? He's excited about you being able to operate in his kingdom the way he's designed you to operate. Is that all right? The way I operate in the kingdom can be totally different the way he's called you to operate in the kingdom. So it's important that you find out by the little things what he's called you to do in his kingdom. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Oh. Can I tell you that God is an advantage to us? Can I just say that to you? God is an advantage. How many believe that? I took Rosie to go see Aladdin. How many of you guys, anybody like Aladdin? Oh man, I mean, I know some of you are going, what? You in the theater? No, sorry, man. It was our anniversary, and I said, Rosie, what do you want to do? She goes, let's go see Aladdin. And I like those cartoons. I do. I enjoy them. I remember sitting with my grandkids and watching them over and over again. Anybody watch Cars? How about Beauty and the Beast? I mean, and the songs I liked. And you know, when Beauty and the Beast came out, they said, hey, let's go. I said, all right. So I think Rebecca and Oscar got the movie and we watched Beauty and the Beast. But I wasn't, somehow Beauty and the Beast to me lost its effect. I liked the cartoon better. So when I went to go see Aladdin, and I had that kind of, it'd probably be a letdown. I'll tell you, I really liked it. I really enjoyed that movie. I really did. I liked the thought of the diamond in the rough. How many know we're diamonds in the rough? How many know that God has got so much for us, we just got no idea what he's doing? We got no. I like that song, you've never had a friend like me. Isn't that right? Can God say that to you? You've never had anybody like me. Is that right? Ooh, come on, man. Ali Baba had his 1,040 slaves. I don't know, whatever, man. I mean, my daughter's going to say, Dad, stop already. Hallelujah. But I really liked it. You know, Prince Ali. No, I'm just, ah, boy. If you haven't seen the movie, go see it because it's cool. I mean, yeah, it's all right. I'm sorry about that. Hey, listen. Listen to this. Like in that movie, it says, you've never had a friend like me. Can I tell you that God is such an advantage to us? Do you know that? Do you remember that man named Elijah? Remember him? That boy had an advantage, didn't he? When 50 men come to, I mean, the king of Syria said, go get him and bring, because, you know, he had spouted, you know, he's having trouble. Every time they try to attack Israel would, I mean, they figured out their plan. And so the king of Israel was, I mean, the king of Syria was saying, well, who is giving our plans away? And they told them, there's a prophet down there. And he's telling the king of Israel everything that you talk about in your bedchamber. Woo, go get him. So he sent 50 men after this man. He's sitting on a mountain. And the guy goes up there, Elijah, get down here. King wants to see you. Oh, man of God. And he said, hey, if I be a man of God, let fire fall from heaven and burn you and your 50 up. Boom, black. Cinnamon toast crunch. Come on. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God is an advantage? He really is an advantage to us. Woo. Sends another 50. Man of God, king wants to see you. If I be a man of God, let fire fall from heaven. Guys are looking around and burn you guys up. Poof, happens. Three times. Finally, the last one, man of God, he comes crawling to him. He said, please, man, please consider my life and my children's life and the men that are with me. They're all down there on their knees. Will you come and see the king? Yeah. I'll come with you. Can I tell you how humility is cool? Isn't that right? But that what did it take to get humility? 350 men. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, just listen to me. God is an advantage to us. He is. Are you using the advantage God has placed in your life? Are you, or are you ignoring it? He is an advantage to you. Hallelujah. This building came because he was an advantage to us. Because his promises are real. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. I want you to look at this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, I want you to look. This is Luke speaking. This is the same scripture as in Matthew, but it doesn't quite say it this way. It's got a little different thing. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you see that? Can I tell you the gift that he's trying to get into your life is the Holy Ghost. He's saying, why would you resist it? Because it's an advantage to you. The Holy Spirit is an advantage to you. He will show you things that are coming towards you. Hallelujah. He will let you know of things. He will warn you. You ever been checked in your spirit? You ever had something? You're talking to somebody and you feel this thing. You say, wow, this is weird. What is this? It's basically God, by his Holy Spirit, saying, hold on, watch out. Get a good look at what's happening. Can I tell you, is there any Jehovah's Witnesses in there? No Jehovah's Witnesses? When I'm talking to a Jehovah's Witness, I can sense it. I know. How many of you, how many of you actually know without them telling you that they're Jehovah's Witnesses? Because there's something within you says, aha, I know who you are. I know where you're coming from. I get it. See, the Holy Spirit is an advantage to us. And why would you even want to back away from it? Why? Can I tell you, this Holy Spirit that God has given to the church is to build the church, to strengthen the church, to show you things you've never seen before, to take you down places where you've never been before. And all of a sudden, what you thought was you, it says, no, it's been me all the time. Watch this. Watch what I will do. And you'll see God doing things that you've never seen before. That was God healing that little boy in the hospital. That was him. I just happened to be a vessel to get the information to those folks. And that's who we are, folks. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I want you to hear these things. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, folks, servanthood is the call of the kingdom. Listen to me. It's a call of the kingdom. It is a servant. We are servants of the king. Is that right? Servants. And who do we serve? We serve him. And then who else do we serve? We serve one another. One another. We become servants. There is none to be the head over all that. That's the way the world works. Is that right? Everybody wants to be the chief. Jesus says, I'm chief. Listen to me and I'll take you to the place you need to go. He told his apostles, he says, look, man, the kings of the earth, that's the way they operate. He said, but not for you guys. The one that wants to be Lord of all, the one that's going to be on top, it's going to be on the bottom. He's going to be serving and serving and serving and serving. That's how you become. That's how you come up through the ranks in the kingdom. Praise God. Simon Peter, a servant. Names servant first, doesn't he? A servant. And he says, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that obtained like precious faith. What kind of faith? Precious. Everybody say precious. Can I tell you, this is precious. Because if you lose it, oh, you're gonna, I mean, you know what? It's like that person that's looking for that pearl of great price. I lost it. I don't know where it's at. Oh my, where is it? It's precious faith. Them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. This is how it's going to be multiplied to you, is through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's how grace and peace will be multiplied to you. It's going to come through the knowledge of God and through Jesus. And it says, according as his divine power. Whose power? Whose power? Talking about the Holy Ghost. His divine power has given to us all things that what? Pertain to life and godliness. Do you see that God is, the Word of God is telling you that you've already got everything you need. It's already in you. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And then he says this, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious what? For a minute ago, we had precious faith. Is that right? But now what do we have? Precious, precious, precious promises. Not like your cat. Oh, my. Precious. This is precious. Not like that. These are valuable promises, precious promises, which are exceeding great and precious promises. And then he says that by these, you might be partakers of what? That you might be what? Partakers of what kind of nature? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look at this. I want you to say, God has placed his divine nature within you. His name is Jesus. You died on a cross when Jesus died on the cross. And when he raised Christ from the dead, he made the possibility, the probability. What he did was he raised you out of. See, the Word of God says this. Well, there's a song that I've been listening to. I just love this song. But it goes like this. I died with you. No. What is it, Donnell? I know, because you got no idea. What are you asking me for? It says, I died with you. I was buried with you. The moment I believed. And then it says, and I rose with you, ascended with you into the heavenlies. Lord, it's not me, but it's you inside of me. And Jesus, you're all that my eyes can see. Is that right? Listen to what I love this song because it's given us a truth. We died with him and we rose. Does not the word tell us that we have ascended into, that we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Doesn't the word tell us that? So you see, you are more than you think you are. You are the kingdom of God on this earth. That's who you are. Amen? How many say amen to that? Amen. Is that true? Oh, you bet it's true. You are the kingdom of God in the earth. And the Bible said, Jesus said this. He says, well, for the Father said this, my glory, which is in the church. Can I tell you that if the Holy Spirit's in you, the glory of God is in you. He says, Jesus said, Father said, my glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Folks, we're not waiting to be taken out of here. We have a job to do. We are to take dominion. We are to possess the world, possess the earth. I like what Brother Tommy was telling us yesterday. He said, one of the things he said to us is, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not just souls. The world has the world was plunged into sin, and everything about it went under a curse. When Jesus died, he broke the curse, so even the trees, the plants, the mountains, all the properties on the earth have now been redeemed to God. And God says this, now the kingdoms of men have become the kingdoms of our God. Woo! Come on, man. We are the kingdom of God in the earth. So let's. How many say we want to act like it? Is that right? Can I say this? It is God's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Learn how to walk in this kingdom. Can you stand? Let's pray. I'm going to bring the worship team up. Hallelujah. Know this. Oh, man. Know this. Know this. That the price he paid for you goes so much further than you've ever imagined. It's really cool. God is good. How many say God is good? God is Amen. Good. Hallelujah. God is interested in the small things. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Sometimes you might think, hey, I'm just a little guy in this thing. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You are in the kingdom of God. And God is saying, hey, man, it's time. It's time that we be who we are on the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to sing a little song, and then we're going to go, okay? It's warm. Father, we thank you this morning for all that you're doing, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are building and strengthening your body, that you, by your Spirit, Father God, are causing us to walk in a way that you have called us to walk, that you have planned for us to walk, Father. So God, we thank you for it this morning. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. If there's anybody in the house that's never given their heart to the Lord, anybody in the house that has never asked Jesus into your heart, can I tell you that Jesus is an advantage to you? If you will ask him into your heart, he will come in and he will cause you to walk in a way that you've never expected. So I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer. Church, would you help me? Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I come to you. Wash my sins away. I believe that Jesus died for me. And he paid for my sins by going to the grave. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And now he's seated at your right hand. Lord, I accept you into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Lead me and guide me. Teach me and show me your ways, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. If anybody in the house had said that prayer and you meant it, please let somebody know. Tell somebody in the house, hey.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.